Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello and welcome to Beyond the Noise, the podcast series from PR Week. I'm Danny Rogers, the editor-in-chief of PR Week, and today I'm joined by PR Week's UK editor, John Harrington. How are you, John?
Very well, thank you, Danny.
Sadly, our usual co-host, Frankie Oliver, is poorly this week and can't be with us. So get well soon, Frankie. But we are joined by two comms professionals who are experts on artificial intelligence, which is our topic of discussion this week. We're very lucky to have with us Alison Spray, Managing Director, Data Analytics at Hill & Knowlton Strategies. Alison is a recent graduate in AI at Oxford University. And of course, Hill & Knowlton is owned by WPP, a company which recently said AI will be fundamental to its business in the future. Hello, Alison.
Hello.
And Andre Labadie, who's Executive Chair, Business and Technology at Brands to Life. Andre is, of course, a director at Brands to Life, having been with the agency for more than 20 years. And Brands to Life is, of course, one of the largest agencies in the UK these days and very much a leader in tech comms. So welcome to you.
Thank you.
Well, AI has, of course, been a fascinating area for decades, but the debate around its use has become turbocharged since the end of last year, thanks maybe to the success of ChatGPT. There are, of course, many great discussions of AI, its uses, and its potential impacts on society out there. But it's important that PR Week examines what these developments mean, both now and in the future, for our community of comms professionals, for the PR industry, for business and the media. However, before we get into that, it's pretty important to first define the technologies that we're talking about here. So let's hear that from the experts. So first question, perhaps you can answer this, Andre. How do we define AI?
So I think, as you say, Danny, the first thing we need to do is reflect on the fact that it is since November when ChatGPT was made live, and it caused lots of hype within the industry and around the world. And that's really what has brought AI into the mainstream and certainly has started to drive a lot of debate within our industry. So generative AI, of which ChatGPT is part, is AI that's producing new content, images, chat responses, designs, and even deepfakes that we've heard a lot about. So ChatGPT, Midjourney, DALL-E, they're all types of Gen AI. Then traditional AI, on the other hand, which has been around for a little while, has already started to affect the industry, and we're already using lots of tools. We might know it, we might not know it, that uses traditional AI. So that might be in helping detect patterns, making decisions, honing honing analytics or classifying data and detecting fraud. So when we see stories like Goldman Sachs put out quite recently around AI replacing up to 300 million jobs, I think it's important that we make that distinction. This isn't, that's not, a, the a lot of that isn't the jobs that we know and love within the comms industry. That's jobs in the in service-based sectors and jobs where there's a lot of rote to manual work. Gen AI is going to have a big impact on our industry, however.
Thanks, Andre. So, Alison, how do you define AI?
So I think, you know, it's really interesting. One of the first lectures we had in Oxford was actually around how do you define AI? And the answer is that there isn't a single definition. Even among people who have been studying this for decades, they don't agree where the line ends between machine learning and AI. I think for us, the question really is how we can think about those spaces in which it's going to automate and augment the work that we're doing. And that's really the structure to put around the AI conversation.
So which tools across WPP are being used for AI at the moment?
So as you can imagine, it's quite a long list. You know, WPP has talked to you guys in the past about some of the larger partnerships we have, you know, with the likes of Adobe, Google, IBM, Microsoft, NVIDIA, OpenAI. Those are obviously some of the biggest names. Within individual agencies, we also have lots of different relationships. So I mentioned before, H&K is a long-term partner of Brandwatch. We also use Quid, which is basically looking at the semantic relationships within media stories. Lots of really interesting things there. And one of the other ones that we've been piloting this year is a tool called Conversus or Conversion. And what they allow you to do is either use off-the-shelf ML models. So for example, if you wanted to be able to separate out voice of the customer from a large swath of social conversation, this is an ML model that you can run through a tool like Brandwatch to actually be able to do that at scale. Quite hard to do, as you can imagine, manually. Or it allows for low-code, no-code model building, which sounds complicated, but effectively means you can train your own models without having to actually write the code that sits behind them. So largely through things like reinforcement learning. Really interesting, different tools. And, you know, for me, I think there's going to be this interesting interplay, particularly for the next couple of years, between those third-party tools that we will continue to use, things like Quid, and then looking at our own tech stack and how we take advantage of a lot of those more large-scale partnerships, things like what's already happening through Azure with Microsoft.
Great, thank you for that. Very important part of this podcast. How are your agencies using AI currently? Which platforms are you using, and what do you see are the great advantages and limitations so far?
And, you know, as Andre said, I think a lot of us are already using AI. You might not even realize it because most of it's already embedded in the platforms that we use. So, for example, you know, H&K are a long-term partner of Brandwatch, which is a social listening platform. They have integrated lots of different kinds of machine learning and AI to help make sense of really large swaths of data. It's been one of the great challenges of those of us who've been searching things like Apple over time and trying to segment between a brand versus a term, right? You know, some of the other spaces that we use it in, tools like Creator IQ, which is all around finding influencers, it's what we base our Influence Plus platform on, and Quid, which helps you understand the media landscape, and again, is another partner that we've built, one of our proprietary tools, Space Plus, which is all around helping brands understand where the white space might be for them to enter into a conversation. So actually putting an algorithmic face on what is normally quite a finger in the air kind of discussion. But I think the other piece of this conversation beyond the tools that we're using as agencies is also kind of what we're going to do with our own internal tech stacks and how we're going to start to use AI in the broader sense, kind of as Andre says, to implement what we're doing.
Yeah. And in terms of the sort of what you've noticed as the main advantages in a sort of practical sense, what would you say those have been so far?
You know, I think for me, a lot of it comes to how we make sense of data. And some of that, as I said, is through tools like Brandwatch. So being able to look at spike detection and understanding very quickly what's happening, what might be causing a big spike in conversation, or other tools like bottom-up analysis that allow you to make sense of, for example, in-depth interviews quickly. So you can start to cluster the themes that are coming through. I think the other perhaps more interesting application for me is what's sometimes called wicked problems. So how you can start to understand those questions that I think we get so often as practitioners in PR that aren't even necessarily articulated particularly well in the first instance, that you have to kind of work through iteratively. That's where perhaps you might think about a tool like Quid being really interesting, because you need to be able to first understand the landscape to then be able to think about what might a solution be, to then be able to think about how does PR play a role in that. Understanding those workflows over time, I think, is going to be a really interesting space for AI for comms professionals.
Great. And in terms of limitations, what are you sort of seeing are the main limitations from what you're using at the moment?
So for what we're using at the moment, a really good example is things like messaging. It's really quite hard to use AI at the moment to see whether a message is included in a particular article, largely because they tend to be very nuanced, and often you don't have that many examples. So it's really hard to train a model because you need lots of examples to do that. I do think, though, large language models, things like ChatGPT, are going to change that pretty quickly. They're much better at understanding nuance because of the way that they're trained, because they're using neural networks versus some of the more simplistic AI tech.
Great, thank you. And Andre, how are you using AI?
Yeah, so similar to Alison, using it in the tools like media monitoring and brand watch, where it's already incorporated in the back end, but also a lot for one of the main uses we found of it is when you have a blank sheet of paper and you are asked to write a plan or a proposal or an article, and just starting to get those ideas flowing. So we're working on our. We have a constantly evolving AI policy, right? And one of the key tenets of that is you're not allowed to take a client brief, feed it into AI, see what comes out, and then send it back to the client. You know, we're really firm on AI is one part of the research stage of it, just like you might go into Google or increasingly Bing, given now that has ChatGPT incorporated or GPT incorporated into it. So it's about helping maybe tick off a checklist of things you should have included. And a lot of the work we're doing is experimentation at the moment. So a huge amount of experimentation right across the different teams. So we've seen people playing around with all the tools like Midjourney and DALL-E on the content creation side, particularly just to see where its limitations are and where the exciting developments are. And it's been really cool to see, particularly some of the more junior team doing some really, really cool stuff with it. Because I think as much as we as a management team can try and recommend policies and talk about how it's going to be used within the business and talk about and think about how roles will evolve eventually, a lot of it has to come from the more junior end of the organization, because they're probably the ones who are it from certainly from a content perspective and a creation perspective, it's impacting their jobs and will impact their roles and their activities over the next year ahead. So really trying to drive that engagement and experimentation across the whole company.
Great. And again, same question, limitations. I mean, what sort of strikes you at the moment?
So you can't see me at the moment. I'm in the studio waving my hands. That's one obvious and well-known failure of generative AI. It does not understand that human hand has got four fingers and a thumb on it. ChatGPT only goes up to 2001. So it's not that useful for media relations focused work and trying to track journalists and things like that, because it's not up to date enough. It can lie. So the answer that it produces is only going to be based on the data that it's consumed. So if the data is wrong, then it could and often does churn out incorrect answers. And the fourth one and there's a lot of debate around this at the moment, is this term hallucination. You might have heard about that. Naomi Klein did a big, big piece in The Guardian a couple of weeks ago on it. And that's all about how it makes stuff up. So if you ask it to write a definition of something that doesn't exist, sometimes it will try and produce an answer for you, and it's complete nonsense. So it goes back to the idea that you have to treat it with caution. You have to have a healthy dose of skepticism, just like you would do if you plugged in a search term into Google. You wouldn't necessarily take what was served up to you as the gospel truth. And it's exactly the same with AI, and probably even more so.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned, Andre, that AI can lie, because, of course, PR profession has sometimes been criticized for being somewhat disingenuous. So, Alison, what do you think? Is it good that AI can lie? Is that a potential problem for the PR industry?
You know, I think the challenge for all of us, because this is such a good question, is more about our understanding of how these tools and technologies work. As Andrew said, a lot of it comes back to just understanding what is ChatGPT, for example, actually doing. You know, it's not wildly different from most examples of predictive text, which I think people have gotten pretty comfortable with over the past couple of years. But understanding exactly that, the training set, what data is it pulling from? How does it differ to Bard? How is it going to differ to other large language models that will come up over time? And therefore, understanding how much of it can you trust? And how much of it do you need to make sure that you're sense checking? You know, there have been a couple of examples over the past few weeks of different titles being caught out for publishing things that, as it turned out, were false, or for catching them because they went through the due diligence of that. So I think for PR professionals, you know, the first task, as with most things, is to understand what it is that these things are actually doing. And then the second piece is just to make sure that we have the right kind of ethical and transparency guidelines in place to support people in using these tools responsibly.
I think the same idea of having a dose of skepticism applies for in-house professionals as well. So Alison and I both work for agencies, but any in-house professional, you know, should absolutely be looking at what their agency sends across and make sure that it hasn't just been fed into ChatGPT and sent straight across. And you know, there's a huge amount of potential for AI to really help and drive creativity, there's also a potential for too many corners to be cut.
So we've talked quite a bit about what AI can do at the moment and some of its limitations and opportunities.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
But have we not even begun to understand the potential of AI on communications in the media? Is it really going to be massively different in 10, 20 years' time?
You know, I think so much of this we don't yet know. You know, even going through this postgraduate diploma, when I was there, ChatGPT was already in existence in earlier forms, GPT rather than ChatGPT. But I don't think anyone saw coming the explosion that happened in December of last year, right? And the really tumultuous wave that's followed in terms of the media landscape. So I think for all of us, it's going to be about staying on top of what's happening right now and understanding both where we can use these tools to drive efficiencies through our businesses, because that's what a lot of the change is going to be. It's the first draft of a press release rather than using AI to write it for you, right? But more importantly, looking for opportunities. One of my favorite quotes of the past year is that, you know, efficiencies have a floor. You can only optimize so far, and there are risks that are inherent in doing that, but opportunities have no ceiling. And those are the spaces that are really going to transform how we work, and it's just going to be about staying on top of it enough to see them.
I think it's incredibly exciting. I think it will be foolish to predict where we'll be in 5 or 10 years, but what we're seeing from our team is that there's a slight element of nervousness around it, and people are concerned about how things are going to evolve. There's also a huge amount of excitement, and people are getting really hyped by seeing the impact that it can have on some of the tasks they ask it to do, and really going for lots of playing around with it, chatting around it within the business, sharing ideas. And that's been brilliant. In some ways, it's actually galvanized the teams to talk about and share and continue to experiment with the different tools and see what the potential of them is.
We've seen a few examples of AI being used in creative campaigns recently from PR agencies, from ad agencies. I mean, do you think AI is a game changer when it comes to creativity and comms?
I think it has the potential to be a game changer. However, I also think that there are some risks, right? Because anybody who is good at writing prompts can feed a brief into ChatGPT and produce a relatively potentially interesting idea. I mean, some of the content it produces is incredible. I've got a 9-year-old daughter, and she, for a school project, she has to invent something. She came up with this idea for a tablet you take, and you only for 2 weeks it gives you protection from the sun, because she said, I hate having to slap sun cream on, or mummy or daddy slapping sun cream on. So we worked on a little prompt last night, fed it into ChatGPT to produce a marketing copy, and it was amazing. It was like really, really impressive. You could, however, if you looked at it, see some tropes. There was a say goodbye to something and hello to something else, and there's a few of those tried and tested things that it churned out. So you could spots it had been written by an AI, but it was still really, really clever. So I think one of the biggest challenges is going to be around creativity. And I think actually it is a huge opportunity for the agencies that are creative, have those creative minds, because what AI can't currently do is make those unexpected connections between two different ideas or unexpected links between two different concepts and turn that into a really, really creative output. I think you can certainly raise the bar of creativity across the board and for those agencies and individuals who might not be particularly creative, but I think it also creates an opportunity for the ones who are to really set themselves above the competition.
Great. Alison, what do you think, creativity and AI?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with so much of what you said, Andre. It's, you know, as an agency, I think we're working to help our clients navigate what is quite a complex landscape with all of these different tools that we're talking about. And really spending a lot of time on advising them on that experimentation, but how you do that responsibly. And when I think about creativity in agencies or in-house, and, you know, not just big C creative, but creativity in the sort of wide definition, you're completely right. AI is great at things like prediction, because machines are just so much better at doing that than humans are. They can take in way more data than we ever could. They're more accurate. They're not going to make an error in their sums. At least they shouldn't do. But AI isn't great at counterfactual thinking, at strategy, at intuition. All of those things are still very much in the remit of all of us. So the question is how we augment the work that we're doing and use these new tools. And I think that does have the potential to be a game changer, because it's going to allow us to create things that we never could before.
So listening to some of your responses there, it sounds like our jobs, the jobs of comms professionals and their careers are safe for some time yet. No, seriously, you know, there is a perception, I think, that AI can be a threat for PR professionals' careers in the longer run. It may threaten their roles as they currently exist, and it may be a threat to job levels in the industry in general. So is that true?
You know, I think the threat for PR really is that we don't move quickly enough to adopt the technology. And I think we've seen in the past, you know, with digitalization as an example, that PR was perhaps a bit slower to adopt it compared to some of the other marketing disciplines. And the pace of change this time is going to be such that we don't necessarily have the time to sit back and wait and see exactly how it's going to work. So, you know, as I was saying before, we need to take a really hard look at how we're educating our teams, how we're keeping people up to speed with both how this technology works, but also how we might think about applying it. Such that we're able to identify the opportunities and leverage it widely.
How about you, Andre? Is it a threat to employment?
I think absolutely it's a threat. I think that the launch of any major new tech like this is a potential threat, but I think it's a threat to blandness rather than being an existential threat to our industry. Alison talked about how normally you know, we're perceived as an industry as being quite slow adapt to technology. But what's been brilliant about this is that you don't need a technical background at all to do it. You know, it's the type of technology that us PR people, as creative, inquisitive, curious people, have been able to dive headfirst into and actually produce some really cool results. You know, in our industry, or in the industry that a lot of our clients work in, technology, you know, the launch of cloud was game changing, but it, you know, it meant nothing to us as PR folks, because it was all in the back end. It, you know, it might streamline a few things, but we couldn't really play around with it. This is different. And will roles evolve? Absolutely, they will evolve. But roles have always evolved, and technology has usually been the driver to why roles have evolved in the past. But I think I'm really, really excited about it, and really confident that it's a huge opportunity for the agencies that can get their heads around it quickly, embrace it, and use it to their advantage.
Yeah, I think, you know, AI isn't going to take your job, but a human who knows how to use AI is. No one wants to be second or third in this. And that's going to be the challenge to all of us as we go forward.
So unless we all become more adept at using it, our jobs are threatened. That's what you're saying.
I think, you know, ultimately for all of us, it's about understanding it and educating ourselves such that we can take advantage of those opportunities. Yeah.
And you mentioned, Andre, that, you know, the way that people in your teams are feeling about it at the moment. Is it universal positivity towards AI, or is there some reluctance and fear around it as well?
Yeah, there definitely is, you know, and quite rightly so. If you read a lot of the headlines, the media has hyped it up quite a lot. So totally understand why some people are a little bit nervous about it. You know, it is going to shape jobs, but I don't think there's going to be any big changes even in the next year, in the next couple of years. I think we're still going to be for a while in the stage where we're getting our heads around it, we're figuring out how to use it to our advantage, figuring out how it can help us deliver a better service to clients. There might be the odd like role or job that changes here and there, but there's certainly not the mass change across the industry that some people are predicting.
Basic question: do you think any agencies or in-house teams to date have created a press release using AI and sent it out to journalists?
I'd be really surprised if they hadn't. I think even if they were doing it in a playful way to see if it was spotted, I think they probably had a go at it.
Interesting. Well, Alison, what do you think?
I think there's some really interesting companies that are operating in this space. There's one called Intentful, who I was connected to during my time in Oxford. They actually already co-produce for Broadway a lot of their content. You can see the case study on their website, and it's really interesting. One application of a large language model where what they do is overlay on top of that effectively your brand's tone of voice. So if you picture ChatGPT with your brand's specific tone of voice and its ability to respond through a series of prompts to create different pieces of collateral. Really, really interesting application. Obviously, as one of the PR people in the room, my eyes absolutely lit up. I think they're fascinating.
It's a funny one. As a journalist, you know, we get sent a lot of press releases of sort of varying quality, and it's not impossible that some of them might have been written by AI. And they might have just, because from what I've heard, some people and sort of alludes to what you've both been saying, some of them can be a bit bland and a bit sort of full of jargon. And to be honest, quite a lot of press releases do look like that. So it may well be that, you know, I've been sent it, I just haven't noticed yet.
So I suppose the question following up that, Andre, is that if these releases have been sent out by robots, have journalists noticed that they have? And do you get any sense of how journalists are feeling about PR people using AI to liaise with them?
So if I were a journalist and I had a press release that I thought wasn't very good, didn't feel like it'd been written by a human, the first thing I'd be doing is putting it into Xero GPT or a similar tool that enables you to check whether it's been written by AI. I don't know if you've seen it, there are tools and you get like a little dial and it'll tell you, you know, 20% chance this has been written by AI. In terms of how they're feeling about it, I don't know, to be honest. I don't know. I think it's probably better addressed to a journalist. But, you know, going back to what we were saying earlier, I think it's really good with a blank sheet of paper. It's really good as part of the research process. But any agency that is writing a press release entirely in AI needs to probably have a good hard look at themselves.
It comes right back to this interesting topic of trust, doesn't it? Because trust is, seems to me, the driving force in communications and media. And if AI is not enhancing that trusted relationship, and possibly it's even going to like to damage it further, we've got a bit of a problem on our hands.
You know, I think for most of this, the question that I keep coming back to is just, are we thinking through what we're doing with technology and the implications of it? And are we being clear and transparent about how and where we're using it? I think insofar as we're doing that, then we have lots of opportunities and lots of space to grow. I am sure over the next couple of years, we will see people take missteps there, because that is what happens inevitably when you have new technology, particularly technology that's as powerful as this.
So if our main aim as PR people and media is to generate more trust in society, which I believe it is, do we feel on balance AI is going to help or hinder that particular quest?
I think in the short term, we're probably in a little bit of grey area at the moment. We're all experimenting with it. We don't quite know all what the rules are yet. So I think we'll get through that pretty quickly. And in the medium to long term, I think it will help with trust because it will enable people to question what brands are coming out with a little bit more, being able to check whether it's a ripoff of things that other brands are saying. And it will help just make brands a lot more accountable, I think.
And I think there's some really interesting science around the idea of trust leaps and what it takes for us to kind of leap together. You can look at the history of where we've made kind of seismic changes in our adoption of technology. And a lot of it comes down to both kind of faith that the technology itself will work, that this is a thing that is working in the way that it's intended to work, and that the intentions of the other person are good. So I think as long as the fundamentals of PR are still there, then AI absolutely should be an enabler of a lot of the work that we do.
As well as embracing AI and figuring out how it can help you, there's the other part, which is what we're trying to do as well, is doubling down on the stuff that AI can't replace. So making sure that clients have, that we're spending more time than ever with clients, really understanding their problems, really giving them that counsel, which AI can't replace. And the same point going back to creativity as well. You know, that's something that at the moment, as we talked about, AI can't replace. So just proving and really, really pushing the creative side of what we do. You know, the stuff that makes us human, pushing that much, much harder.
Fantastic. Thanks so much to both Alison and Andre for joining us today. That brings us to the end of this week's show. Please do check out prweek.com/UK for much more news and analysis of AI, plus much more, of course. As you may know, we're currently in the middle of the Top 150 Consultancies Report, the biggest analysis of PR agencies' performance that exists anywhere. So do check that out on our site. Plus, we're publishing our list this week of the brightest young talent in the industry, 30 under 30, and much more besides. So we look forward to you joining us next week for more podcasts from PR Week.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.